Hello. Welcome to Binary Jazz, a podcast. I fear that Allison is frozen again.
Yeah, it does appear that way.
Okay, well, here we're here. Allison is here.
In and out.
Chris, Allison, Gary, Ben Jazz. You saw us last week streaming live on the YouTube.
For sure, live.
And if you didn't, well, there are recordings available on our website, which is binaryjazz.us. And it is a great gateway to the binary jazz universe.
Yeah, the show is nothing like that, though.
What? It's not a universe?
No, I mean, it's a universe, but it is the show is nothing like the con. If you went into the, if you watched the live stream or watched the individual talks or the recap or whatever, and then you come into the show expecting it to be like on topic and about like specific things, you would be probably sorely disappointed.
Well, you weren't paying attention to my talk then, because my talk was not on the topic and I set a topic for my talk.
Your talk had a topic.
It did.
It which meandered around. It
nuclear
eventually
warheads.
Got back to it. Yeah.
No, here's pictures of space people. Here's nuclear warhead.
It was on topic.
And here's six slides that match the title because I felt like they had to exist. I mean, that's literally what it was. It's okay. I'm not mad. It just where things went. Perhaps I convinced myself it was a good topic and then got into research and was like, what the fuck? And that's, you know, that's also... That should be like the story of that should be the title of my biography. Like Gary was researching something and then what the fuck? It's a little lengthy. I gotta find something shorter than that. Yeah.
Maybe it just shortens it to Gary was researching something.
What the fuck? Yeah, that'll work.
Gary was researching something is the title of the book, and it just meanders through various like things and then like circles back on itself a few times and just like this weird spiral.
Is that called Wikipedia Golf when someone like tries to find the shortest route between two topics related on Wikipedia? Is that what that's called? Or is Wikipedia? I saw it mentioned somewhere and thought I would love to participate in that with a person. Like it would be fun.
Well, I don't know that we don't have an Allison, we don't have a topic, but
I
do have some
suggest...
Allison questions, and I want to wait until Allison is like on to do the Allison questions.
I was going to suggest perhaps we should use a different technology that's less prone to her internet disruptions, like the Google Meet, although that would mean we need to Google. I don't care. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I don't know that Google Meet would be necessarily better.
Yeah, it's my fallback at work when Zoom is bad. I jump over to Meet and it works. But anyway,
yeah,
questions.
I think it's all right. Well, I mean, do we want to do the questions or do you have an actual topic or do you want to do the game that I wanted to bring? I don't know if it's a game. It kind of is. It's more commentary, I think.
I'm up for anything as long as my internet lasts.
Yeah, I didn't want to get super deep into your questions if you popped off again, but we'll hold
well,
here.
It
but
is
then
recorded.
I get to listen to the episode. So
I was going
to
say it's
true.
Recorded. So like,
that's
if
true.
You ask the questions, like
that's true because she knows what the questions are.
They're probably more conducive to a bad internet connection.
That's true. That's fair. Okay, so we'll go from, I mean, they're all submitted within like 5 minutes of each other, so I can't really go with the oldest first, but I'll go with the oldest first. What's more important to you? What's more impressive to you? Running a fast mile, or a slow marathon?
A slow marathon. As someone who's completed a slow marathon, I can easily say a slow marathon. It was just fucking brutal. Like a fast mile, like, yeah, there's something crazy there where it happens. And, you know, there are people that are very fast. But like a marathon is a thing that, like, you know, you have to train for. Like,
yeah,
I think if you were being chased by a cheetah, you could run a mile and it might be extremely fast. And your body could find a way to keep you going. But a marathon, like if you're being chased by a cheetah, well, I guess that's kind of the point of humans, is that humans can have that endurance running. I don't know. Maybe this is a bad example. I just feel having run both fast and slow for very long distances. I don't want to do either, but I find the marathon more impressive.
I would probably agree. I think that it's a fast mile is certainly impressive, but it's only impressive for like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes or however long the fast mile is.
Here's the thing. Slow marathon. Marathon's like suffering. I mean, that's part of it. And I don't want to like glamorize that and say that, like, you know, to achieve greatness, blah, 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 you have to suffer or whatever. Right. Like, I don't believe that at all. But I think what I do believe is that if someone has the motivation to push through that suffering, there's probably something behind that. And whatever is driving that is important enough for them to accommodate the suffering. And that is admirable. So that's a silly answer.
Yeah.
Dog. I want to go hug that dog, actually. I don't think I should do that. If I like ran up behind it and like, hey, talk, I'd be like, what the hell, man?
All right. That is the first question. And Allison has disappeared again. I apologize for Allison's internet. I don't know if there's storms up there or what's going on.
I was going to ask what the weather situation was up there.
Yeah, I don't think it's like super bad. I mean, we had snow the other night, but we usually get, because the, you know, from the West Coast, like storm fronts usually hit the West Coast first and then drift east, and then we usually get stuff like, so stuff will hit the Bay Area, you know, 2 days or so before it hits us. So like,
yeah,
we were usually the later. So I don't know what's coming. Maybe there's something coming. All right, question number two.
Yep.
Is I never set a timer. Well, I'll just kick us off. Question number two is, when you are older, when you are older, I'm doing this thing. I listen to a podcast. I've mentioned it before. I've been listening to My Brother and Me, and they have it pretends to be an advice show where people submit questions, and for a long time they were using Yahoo Answers to like get questions from the internet, but Yahoo Answers doesn't exist anymore. So they have a thing. So they use other things instead, but they have a thing where, and I guess they had a whole bunch of questions that were submitted from Yahoo Answers, or maybe they're all made up now. I don't know, but they have a thing at the end of the show, what they call the final Yahoo, which is the final thing. And they just ask the question, but they don't answer it. And so one of the brothers, Griffin, does this thing when he's delivering the final Yahoo, where he starts to asking the question, and then he just doesn't finish the question, and he sort of just lets it build up a whole bunch for like dramatic tension, and then he'll like go back and change it, and then he'll ask it again. And so like it's just this like stop and start stutter, and it, like I wasn't even paying attention that it was a shtick for a long time, until their show that they published on Monday was a live show, and it was very obviously played up to be more more dramatic pauses and stuff for, you know, the audience. And that was when it sort of clicked, like, oh, like that's, it's for the lulls. That's why he's reading it this way. not because he's like, not because it's made up or he's making it up or he's changing it or whatever. He's just doing it because like he's trolling. So that's cool. When you're older. So that's what I'm doing. I'm pulling on my, when you are older, when you're older, what do you think children, when you're older, what do you think children, et cetera, will ask you? What do you think children, et cetera, will ask you to tell stories about?
I'm sorry. Could you just give me the whole thing in like one breath? Because I don't know what the hell you're asking at this point.
When you're older.
Oh, damn it. I'm not kidding. I wish Allison were here for this. Honestly. When I'm older, what do I help children help hope but children?
What do you think children
will ask me to tell stories
about? Ask you to tell stories about.
Well, I think that they will ask me to tell stories about like the land before internet, time before internet. I think that they will ask me to tell stories about.
You think they'll ask you about the time before internet? Yeah. How did you even do things when there wasn't internet? How did you get food when there wasn't such a thing as DoorDash? You think that's going to be a question?
Yeah, I think so. And the reason that's going to be a question is that I had my questions for my grandparents were always like very practical. Like, hey, how do I blah, 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 blah. But there was a time where I asked like questions that I didn't need them to tell stories about. And that was when I was doing research on World War II. So mm-hmm. I would call them and say, hey, can you tell me about dot, dot, dot? And that was a... so I expect that in history, you know, they'll be like, can you tell me about the September 11th attacks, mm-hmm. the war on terror? Well, the war on terror, I mean, lasts for 20 years. Like there's,
yeah.
What is there to say? But you know, like, I mean, I can talk extensively about, you know, some of the space shuttle, like the space shuttle era, like I was alive for, and that's you were too. That's like such an antiquated thing now. The fact that, you know, we had human missions in this like pseudo reusable vehicle, right? And it was a government vehicle. And you know, my children are growing up in a time where like government vehicles they still exist for space flight, but aren't going to be the norm. And the flip is like we're doing, you know, an order of magnitude more launches these days than we were even at the height of the shuttle program. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I mean, it's going to get to the point where it's, you know, hundreds of people a year are going to be going to space and it's boring. And you're going to be like, yeah, let me tell you about the shuttle program. And then I also think that there will be questions undoubtedly about like just what the fuck was going on with the U.S. like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they ask.
I expect that as well. We were watching. We were watching Home Alone with the kids. And it's the first time I've seen Home Alone in I don't know how long. It's the first time the kids have seen it ever. But, you know, like Home Alone is one of those cultural touchstones, right? And we feel like Erin didn't have a lot of like pop culture when she was growing up. Like her parents didn't go to movies. They didn't have a lot of money. So they didn't have a TV for a long time. So like she missed out on a lot of those sort of pop culture touchstones which made her feel outsider-y amongst her peers because she just didn't have those references. So she feels pretty strongly about making sure that our kids have some of those references. And so we started watching Home Alone. And the funny thing is like as soon as it started, as soon as like the storm hits and he like wishes for his parents not to be there or whatever, and the storm hits and my daughter Lila is like, oh, I've seen a YouTube video that was based on this. It's like, yeah, because this story is everywhere because it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
But it struck me as I'm watching this movie. So many things. I mean, like one thing is like looking at the cars is hilarious because like like there's the junker car that's obviously a junker car, but which I don't even know, like I can almost not even empathize with having an old junker car anymore. Like who has a junker car anymore? Like what does a junker car even look like anymore? I don't know. Like when I was in high school, it was like a Pinto, but like mm-hmm. what is even a junker anymore? I like, do people have those? Like
it's a PT Cruiser, Kristen. You watched the video last year?
Yes.
But no, to answer your question, I mean, you make a really valid point. Like there are several scenes in that movie. And I think even backing up from that, the premise of the movie existing, that the power went out and says no alarm clock, like my alarm clock has a battery backup.
Right, right.
You well, know,
and,
like
and,
it's...
and the other thing is like, there's all of this stuff about, there's whole, there's this dramatic tension around not being able to phone him. And there's this whole scene where she steals the phone from the French person and she tries to call the police station, whatever. Yeah. And like they, and then she's back and forth and on hold and whatever. They never call him and no one has cell phones. And the whole thing would be very, the story doesn't work with cell phones. It just doesn't work because like with a cell phone, he has a cell phone. Obviously, mm-hmm. he's what, 8 years old. Obviously, he has a cell phone or someone in the house has a cell phone or like, you know, an iPod or something that can FaceTime. And everybody there would have a cell phone. So there wouldn't be this question about, oh, when we get to my brother's house, we can call the neighbors or whatever. Like it would be everybody has a cell phone. We definitely have a way of getting in touch with him. Like right now, we like FaceTime the hell out of the family computer and wait for him to like hear the ringing and then like there it is, you know, like none of it works. The whole movie fails and falls down with modern technology.
I even think even more simply than that is like if you're a parent, you have your kid on a smart device and the first thing you do is you try, where are they located?
Yeah, know? Right.
Find my device.
Right. Yeah, they wouldn't even leave.
It's at home. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, geez. Yeah, that's very true. You know, and that's going to be one of the problems I feel like with movies is that there's like this, I sort of remember it early on.
It's a cliff. There's a huge cliff. Like
and it's pre-smartphone. There's like this little window where people had cell phones for 6 or 8 years. And then the smartphone hit, like the iPhone hit. And that little 6 to 8 year window, if you catch one of those movies that has like a phone pre-smartphone, feels like it was made in like, you know, the dark ages. It's just wild, you know, that you wouldn't have all this technology.
And then you have like the shoulder years where it's in between, it's like it's post smartphone but free iPhone. So it's like the BlackBerry years.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's
so like
true.
So like we were watching The Holiday. Aaron and I were watching The Holiday last night and everybody has a BlackBerry because that was what you had. And like it's so quaint to have everybody like looking at their BlackBerry and like scrolling on their BlackBerry and typing on this ridiculously large keyboard and like it's like, you know, monochrome interface. Yeah, I think the what did you do before technology is definitely a thing, particularly because like there's such a big drop off, especially when you're looking at media and like it dates it so hard, like. Mm-hmm. It's like watching, you know, black and white
movies. It's a Wonderful Life or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And they like, you know, or black and white movies where they don't have even like a rotary telephone where you have to like call the operator, you know, like what is that even like? I don't even like, how does that even work?
Right. I never experienced that. Did you own a rotary phone as a kid? Did you ever have a rotary phone?
We had a rotary phone. Yeah.
Yeah. We did too. Which we had a rotary phone in the living room. Because there was a table between these two.
Yeah, because you had to have a piece of furniture for the rotary phone, of course,
to sit on.
Yeah,
because it was bigger than your laptop. It was, you know, footprint wise. And then in the kitchen we had the one on the wall.
Yep.
And that was before like cordless phones were affordable, because that one had a cable that could go from one end of the kitchen, near the refrigerator, all the way to the table, so my mom could come across and. Right at the table. And so as a kid, I remember running through there and tripping on that damn cable. Mm-hmm. And then her turning and yelling at us for running through the house, obviously, because we're not supposed to be doing that. But I mean, I think about that and geez, you're right. I mean, that piece of furniture, that piece of technology was iconic. I remember when my grandmother died, I was in fifth grade and my dad getting that phone call at dinner, he got up to answer the phone and he answered it. And it was his dad calling to tell him that his mom had died. And for me, that's like the vivid memory of that event is that's how we got that news, you know? And then I think about how.
I have a vivid telephone memory as well. So when I was growing up, and my dad was working a lot, And so my parents were, my grandparents were basically my guardians. Not officially, but like that they were, that's where I was, they were
taking that role. Yeah.
Yeah. They took on that. They took ownership of that responsibility because he was working. And there is discussion. I didn't know it at the time, but I learned it later. There is discussion about them making their guardianship like a legal thing, like actually getting, becoming legal guardians. And my dad was, I think, really threatened by this. And so I remember this argument, and I associate it with that because of sort of the outcome. But because it was around the same time, I think if I'm piecing like the bits and pieces of information that I have together correctly. So there is an art. I was at my dad's apartment this time, and he was talking on the phone with them, and it was a loud argument about, you know, me essentially and taking care of me. And he, I remember him slamming the phone into the cradle and breaking the phone, and like. And that was like, so that's my iconic telephone moment. And it was a rotary, you know, but like, you know, like that's not even a thing you can do dramatically. Really. Any, you know, like dramatically, like click the, I mean, unless you want to throw your phone into the wall or something, which, you know, I'm sure people have and do, which then you're sorry because it's a $1,000 piece of technology you've just destroyed. There's not, again, there's not a corollary for that.
And the old rotary phone, if you slammed it down in the cradle hard enough, the bell inside, you would make it ring.
Bing.
Yeah, there was that. Yep. I actually remember that in movies and remember experiencing that on occasion at the house at the end of a angry phone call. Yeah. Hmm. It's so wild, these cultural cues that existed and were completely transient, you know, like they were there, they were gone. They were there for less than 100 years.
In as compared with the technology that we have now, I mean, the technology that we have now is still pretty young too, but like,
oh yeah,
if you look at like the course of history, and like when these technologies emerged, like from, you know, the telephone system emerging as a thing to people getting phones in their homes to like the existence of a rotary phone over like an operator system to rotary phones then becoming, you know, touch tone phones to then like cell phones to then like smartphones, like it's not a huge chunk of time for each of these like things, like it's they're fairly small gaps, so like, which is the reason why like that sort of drop off in pop culture in like all these movies and stuff is so sharp, because like it hasn't been that long.
Well, here's the one that can, applying that logic, here's the one that just baffles me. 1969, right, famously, it's when humans stepped foot on the moon. 1903 was when the Wright brothers flew the first airplane. 66 years between that. So you could have been a young person that read your newspaper about like human flight down in Kitty Hawk by two dudes that made bicycles from Ohio that found a good spot with winds, and then been alive when humans stepped foot on the moon. That entire process of humans not flying to flying with engine-powered stuff to launching a rocket a quarter million miles away with enough accuracy to actually put humans there and then return them home safely happened in 66 years. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard to look at like where we are now and appreciate like just how quickly humans together can enact like significant improvements in technology.
Well, I mean, how many computers, how many versions of my first computer exist inside this device right here I'm holding up my iPhone? Like many, like there's at least three.
Well, if we say
probably many, many more actually.
So Unix epoch time, right, is January 1st, 1979. Mm-hmm. If we say that that's like officially the start of the computer age, I mean, we're still 20 years out from that 20 years out from that 65 year point. If you say that there's something that happens in that time where you're people start looking back And what is that going to be? You know, 20 years from now, what is computing going to look like? And I mean, you and I are both not so naive to make any kind of bold declaration, because I think that, you know, while I'll even back it up a little bit. I was super obsessed with wearable technology when I was in college. Not like for the geek factor, but I really thought there was applicable societal benefits for things like for hearing impaired, you know, like there were a lot of deaf students at the school I went to. It would be really nice to have context sometimes, or to see a pronunciation for a word if you're lip reading. Or perhaps even to, I mean, I couldn't imagine augmented reality at that point that you could like look at someone's mouth and a computer could help you understand. But if you're lip reading, if you had a way to input to a computer what you think they said, and it could give you a list of potential words with the context of the conversation, you could be more engaged in the conversation and not having to stop and ask for spellings and that kind of stuff. I thought about that for people that, you know, we're learning like a second language was a second language. Like it would be so great to have like a ubiquitous display. In this case, like to have it in your glasses would be like impossible. But, you know, the old technology of the VHS recorders that sat on your shoulder, there were schematics online that people had taken those and turned into a heads up display. So Raspberry Pi, of course, wasn't a thing. So like a little board that could do that was, I mean, effectively, like you could find a board that was like an old ATX size board, 386 CPU, maybe like a quart, like a bigger than a tape deck, but a tape deck basically. And then you got to power it, and battery technology wasn't the same. So you needed a lead acid battery, you know, which it, I mean, you're putting a pound on there. And so it was like, you needed a fanny pack to lug the stuff around. You needed a way to use wires. The headset was, I never could get anything more than just like video output. I never could figure out the mechanics to mount it, but I had this board and this eyepiece that when plugged in, could boot up and tell me that shit didn't work. And I had never had any interface with it. And that was as far as I got with it. But I mean, that was, to me, like it just, the promise of that technology was astounding. And now here we are. And it's like, I have on my wrist something I can speak to and ask for translations. I can ask for historical data. I can ask for the weather. I can set multiple timers. I mean, it's like, we're not there on that wearable side, but we're, you know, it's not, these dominoes are falling, and they're falling quickly, and these pieces are going to pop into place where it makes sense to just have this. And it's, there's no question, you know? And yet I still run into people today sitting in the nursing home. I use an iPad for my guitar tabs, and there was a woman who'd never seen an iPad before. And it, you know, it's like, once you use the technology, you just become immune to how amazing it is. So I have this iPad, and I have a Bluetooth pedal, so I can turn pages while I'm playing guitar.
Nice.
I'm turning the pages by stepping on the pedal, and it's magic. At some level, it feels like magic, unless you're like, oh yeah, of course it works, because you get this like spoon fed the advancements little by little, and then somehow you've eaten the entire elephant. You know.
I don't know. Having built so many computers as a as a young adult, as a, you know, late teens and early 20s human being, nerd, just the processing power of devices today just still continues to astound me. I mean, like the actual like processor speed hasn't accelerated that much, but just the computing power in general. And when you compare it to the machines that we were building, like the gaming rigs that we were building in like the 90s and early 2000s, and then you compare it with, like, you know, the rig that my son built over the summer, like it's ridiculous.
The A1202-1204 era that Apollo 11 experienced when going in for the moon landing was literally that the computer was like, I have to drop some calculations to keep the real-time data working. Like, and that's what that error was showing, was like, you're having me process too many instructions. Like, can you even imagine like a system that would inform you of that? Like, no, it just slows down now, and you just process all of them. And like, it's, oh, we've come so far. And
all right.
Yeah.
Last,
that was a great question, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently last Allison question. Maybe she'll come back. I don't know. I think
I was gonna say, should we check Slack? And
I've been poking my head, and she hasn't said
the goose in a while, so. Got loose in the network closet.
Yeah, apparently. I think so. think the goose maybe killed all the internet on Vancouver Island. Okay. What? Allison asks. Gary, Allison would like to know. What?
I'm going to have internet problems before this question's over.
What would you want? Allison wants to... Allison is inquiring what we would want buried, what we would want buried with us.
Yeah.
She would like to know what we would want buried with us so that we could use it. She wants to know what we would want buried with us so we can use it in the afterlife.
Is that the entire question?
Yes.
Okay. Boy, I feel free to go ahead if you've got an answer on this one.
I have not. I have not considered what I would want to take with me into the afterlife.
Yeah. I mean, my answer, like, you know, other people, but that's a little fucked up. Friends and family.
Come on down.
Sorry. You all got to go in with him.
That's fair, though.
You soon will be, too. I don't know, because the root of the question is, like, what do you think about the afterlife? And I...
Right. Yeah,
I feel like,
and the answer to that question, what do you think about the afterlife, is I don't.
Yeah. And mine is like, I mean, our energy goes somewhere is my answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it necessarily all goes to the same place. So like, if I could take anything in the afterlife, it would be memories.
Yeah.
I would want my energy to carry along my memories.
Yeah. I think so.
Can I be buried with my memories?
When I think about this question, it just reminds me of you know, the Egyptian perception of death in the afterlife, because that was, I mean, that's where a lot of our, I mean, they're not the only ones that buried people with stuff to take with them into the afterlife, but that is, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we are taught in schools, like when that subject is broached, often it's the finger points at, oh, Egyptians did that. Lots of other people did it, but yeah, sure, Egyptians did it too. But that's where I think. So I'm thinking like, okay, so in the Egyptian afterlife, you are brought across the Sea of Styx on a boat, and then you're brought to be judged by, I guess it's, it's Osiris, because he's the god of the underworld after he was killed by his brother Thoth. So I would want, I guess I would want to be buried with anything that would make that judgment process go better for me. Like, I'm not exactly like bribes, but like something that would, because he's, I mean, and I don't even think so. Like, the idea is that you're weighed against your actions. And I don't think that it's so bad that, like, you know, like, I think that normal, it's, I don't think it's like the good place where, like, the system is rigged from the get-go, and like, basically no one goes to the actual good place because of all of these cascading sins that are like tiny microtransactions that come out of like, oh, you bought almond milk, so that's 10 points against you because of like how that impacts the environment, and you have this little influence on like the destruction of the environment, whatever. Like, no afterlife that I would believe in would work that way. So I think that it's like, if you're a normal person and you would go to like the normal place.
Yeah.
And so I would think that like, that what I would want to bring with me would be anything that would like sort of reinforce the normality and possible, like, I guess, good intent, that would help that argument, and not send me to like the bad place by mistake or the bad place intentionally, because like actually like those microtransactions are, you know, added up. And I think that like if I apply that to like other ideas of you know, bringing things into the afterlife to help you, like I think it still kind of works the same, because like at some point, like most unless it's like your idea of the afterlife is like you're still around, like wandering around and watching over people like guardian angels or whatever, mostly like there's this point of judgment where your deeds are judged, and that determines where you go, what your afterlife is like, unless it's like, you know, like in Buddhism it's like, you know, you sort of like become one with everything or reincarnate or whatever. And that's, and then like, and there's this idea, I think in Eastern philosophies where like what you are reincarnated as, or what, yeah, the form of the reincarnation that you take is based on what you did in life. So there's still that element of judging that determines like where you end up the next time around. So again, there's still like whatever I would want to take with me is something that would help that argument. A defense attorney, perhaps.
Yeah, that seems completely logical. Completely logical.
Sort of gaming the system.
Have you been watching The Good Place recently?
Yeah, we were watching it with the kids. So we watched through season one. Yeah, we were watching it.
That scene, I don't know, what's his name? Where Michael? He realizes that the, what's that?
Michael?
Yeah, realizes that the system is rigged. That like buying a tomato, like that simple act of buying a tomato, and he shares that. And I love that scene because it speaks so strongly to like this thing I've been feeling for many, many, many years. And it just makes sense that, and it's so tersely worded, you know, it's like, yeah, like you can't actually, you can't be an ethical consumer in the capitalism that we have right now. Like you can make better choices, but you can't make good choices.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I love that. And sometimes, you know, the convenience of buying at a local grocery store, fruits and vegetables, whatever they have available, and not considering what's in season, as opposed to going to the farmer's market on a Saturday morning and supporting local, you know, it's awful hard to not be like, shit, I just need two tomatoes for this recipe and I'm going to get them. And, you know, doesn't matter that like, there's not a lot available locally right now because it's not the season. Yeah, it's like, that's a fun brain puzzle. That's one that I play with at night a lot when I'm not sleeping.
Yeah, that's the reason why we wanted to, one of the reasons why we wanted to show the kids that show, because it's like ethical philosophy for dummies. It's like, it's so neatly packaged and easily consumable, you know, philosophical debates. Like it is the equivalent of the Greek philosophers debating in the streets. Like that is our version of like Plato, like having dissertations to and like having discussions.
And legit, like I want to just hug Chidi, you know. like there's so many episodes where I'm just like, oh god, man, I've been there. Like his frustration at trying to determine like good and bad, like that concept, like, oh, I so strongly relate to that. And I'm just like you, if you keep looking at it, you can just cause yourself to freeze and make no decision. And like, maybe, you know, that ends up being like a whole nother facet ultimately, but I want to hug that idea that he has and be like, it's all right. It's okay to be that sometimes.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, they really besmirched the city of Jacksonville in that show, and Jacksonville loved it, absolutely ate it up. And were it still on the air, this would have been another just stellar season to just latch on to all the storylines out of Jacksonville, who fired their football head coach 2 days ago after a story broke that he had kicked a kicker during warmups. He should have been fired a long time ago, but I think finally that was the story, that between that and some documentation that allows him to do it for cause and not pay out the contract. I'm guessing, I don't know. It's just like, you look at it and you're like, how can this really bad football team actually get worse? And like, they're so much worse. It's silly. It's entertaining this year, not because there's any sports happening. Like, I mean, they play football games technically. Mm-hmm. They've won two somehow, but they're literally just like a joke. It's just, so.
Yeah, and it would be interesting to see what the Good Place in general did with COVID, particularly in Florida, because you know that there would be something, right? Like with the way that Florida just as a state dealt with or didn't deal with the pandemic and masking and like everything, both because it is a huge tourist destination and they wanted to not hurt the tourism industry, and because it's still the South, with everything that goes around with that philosophically. There's just a lot of stuff there where like
I'll even jump on the tourism portion. It's beyond being open for tourism. It's the capitalist mandate, because there is no state income tax. Predominantly, the taxes in Florida are raised as tourism taxes on hotels, on all sorts of state doesn't make money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if there's no tourism, the state has budgetary issues. So there was that capitalist mandate to make sure that tourism didn't die in Florida. But other people can, as long as we kept tourism alive, there were, you know, we can lose a few percentage points of residents in Florida. Yeah. I got into my dad the other night about getting a booster. He works in planned giving for a very large nonprofit that I'm not going to give any airtime to. He meets with, you know, donors who are looking at legacy building, the idea of putting their name on a building or a program or whatever, and, you know, looking at donating a bunch of money. I said, well, you have to fucking kill a donor before you're gonna get your booster, man. You know, it was an uncomfortable, unpleasant conversation, and, you know, it's dumb, but Florida man.
Right. Well, we're reaching the end of our time. I did run through it really quickly. I still wanted to do this thing. We've gotten, I mentioned it on BingeConf, that we have gotten three individual, separate, unique copies of the Sharper Image 2021 gift catalog.
And
looking through that, some things, like, they just demand conversation. So I wanted to, for a little bit, just take a quick peek at the Sharper Image catalog. So I'm sharing my screen.
Yes.
And I'm going to start with... I'm going to start with bestsellers, because I think that's generally how the catalogs that we've gotten have started. There's a few things in here that...
Wait, is that putting a sandwich? Oh, no, that's Santa Claus. Sorry.
There's a few things in here that definitely jump out at me. There's whatever that thing is, just a large Sherpa, I guess.
The oversized hoodie.
It's a
Snuggie without the trademark.
So I like, there's a whole bunch of versions of this sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's this thing, which actually plugs into your phone, but there's also
another thing that, for those of you that are joining us on the audio podcast, is a looks like a USB drive that plugs into your phone.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is like, there's a couple iterations of this. They all proclaim themselves to be digital photo storing devices.
Mm-hmm.
And they are literally USB thumb drives.
That's interestingly enough, your phone is also a digital,
digital
file storage device already.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. This is probably my favorite thing right here. This is advertised as a password vault, and it looks like
Franklin organizer.
Right. Exactly. So if you go into it, and I will, it'll tell you that it stores up to 400 user IDs, logins, and passwords for your bank account. So it's $70. And it stores 400 passwords. And this is what you want to give. This is what you give to 18
cents a password, Chris. That's a pretty good value.
Right. This is what you give your family members who insist on writing all their passwords in a little notebook. And so all the passwords are like handwritten and illegible. And then they scratch them out because they changed their password. But they're not quite tech savvy enough to actually spend the frickin' $20 a year to store unlimited passwords in one password. They're not there yet. So we're going to give them this device that gives them 400. I counted, and in my 1Password right now, I have over 1,000 stored passwords and identities and whatever. I would need 3 of these things in order to compare with the thing that's already built into my computer and into my browser.
Let me point out though that your 1Password does not fit into a desk drawer, glove box, or purse.
That's true.
And it is connected to the internet. So there are 2 strikes right there as compared
those
to
are strikes.
Password vault.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Those are, I think, probably the most notable things. I'm just going to scroll through, see if there's anything else that jumps out. There is a couple other tech things. They're probably in the tech section. All right, we're going to go back to the main catalog page. All right, so then the catalog will often jump to the gifts for her section.
Oh, yes. Yes. There's
so,
a sandwich printer, right?
Yeah, there's...
I don't know why, just the way the lighting works or whatever on the screen, it really looks like that printer is, it's like a sandwich coming out of it. Maybe it's just the resolution.
So in the catalogs, the majority of the stuff in here is like personal care, which I found notable, like,
there's,
you know, you have
pages of this crap.
You have gifts for him and gifts for her, and gifts for her is all like personal care stuff. But what was really interesting, and I haven't gotten to it yet, I'm sure that it'll come up pretty soon. There is 14 pages. There are several. So this is one thing that is notable in the gifts for her section. This is advertised as a heated personal massager.
Yeah.
Now I know, because some of these things exist in my house, that this is in fact a vibrator, but it is a heated personal massager. And this was actually in the catalog, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know the Sharper Image sold vibrators. But then I found this, which if anyone has ever seen this device, this is what would be referred to outside of the Sharper Image as a wand vibrator. It's the one with the big head at the end, and but I saw this, and anyone, and so it's a picture of a woman who has this vibrator, and she's putting it on her neck, and anyone who recognizes this device knows that is not where you put that. That is, you put that elsewhere. So then there's that. And then, there's also, one of these, also a personal massager by a company named Lello. This is the GG2. And if you do a Google search on Lello GG, I guarantee it will be 100%. The only results you get are stores selling vibrators. So again, reinforces the idea, the Sharper Image sells vibrators now. They also have the Lello Elise 2, also a vibrator. Because that is what this company makes, vibrators.
Can you go back to the first one?
Yes, that was the heated personal massager.
I would like to point out, this is very much the imagery, if you're listening to the audio only podcast, this is showing this is being used as a like massaging sore muscles is the imagery that they are using for the product photos. The third bullet point makes a note though that it is velvety soft with a silicone body. So the sharper image I think is really dabbling in a maybe a
also
it, sharp image here. They're trying to say things without saying things.
When it honestly, also notes that it's 8 inches in length. And I don't know that length really matters.
It's not bragging if it's true.
I don't know if length really matters if you're just using it as a personal massager. I think we can all read between the lines here.
10 massage patterns and intensities, though.
Yeah, yeah. What I didn't notice, what isn't included in the catalogs, this is new to me. I hadn't seen this. This is a Lello Sona 2 Cruise. You could probably Google that online yourself. This one doesn't advertise that it's, yeah, this one actually says what it is. They're not pretending that it's a personal massager. They're straight up saying this is a vibrator. They didn't actually use the word vibrator, but they're not. So that was a thing that was sort of eye opening. If you go through,
what category do they list that under?
So it's in for her, but it's also all of them are in the massage, category as well.
Look, man, sharper image has probably taken a pretty big beating with the closing of malls across America.
Right?
I mean, I don't know what the margin is on vibrators, but I've got to assume that this is high. Just like a play to keep.
I think it's pretty high.
Well, there,
I mean,
those
it probably
are not,
depends on the technology, but I think.
Yeah, those
I
are
think
not it, inexpensive ones that they're selling either.
Yeah.
Sharper image is not known for their like value pricing model.
The other thing, and this will be the last thing, the last thing that
that it better not out, be
that
what's that thing right in the middle.
Well, that's where we're going. The last thing that I wanted to point out is that there are various incarnations of this thing, and what this thing is some sort of a cassette player. And there's this one right here that's a wireless cassette player, which is just like essentially a Walkman, I guess,
with Bluetooth.
Yeah, I'm sure with Bluetooth. Yeah. And then the other one is a cassette to MP3 converter. And what struck me about this device is it's really locking in their target demographic. Their target demographic being probably a dude, probably of a particular age, like you'd have to be of a particular age to even recognize what this mechanism is. And then there is especially with, I mean, this one you can use to transfer audio from your cassettes to your computer as well. This one has the cassette to MP3 converter has a again this special storage device, aka a thumb drive that plugs directly into it to record audio from your cassettes. So we'll backtrack a little bit. Cassettes were the lowest fidelity audio recording. They are the lowest fidelity audio recording, or magnetic tape, I will say, in general, because this includes 8 tracks. It's the lowest fidelity audio recording you can possibly get, because the magnetic tape itself shrinks and expands. It gets warped. And then if there's some miscellaneous or random mechanical failure in your playing device, it'll get gummed up in the gears that like, and then it'll get all crinkly and wrinkled, and then it just permanently damages the audio output. So it is not a thing that probably, like, if you were going to transfer something from analog to digital, the cassettes are probably the thing that you would want to transfer the least, because it is the worst possible thing that to transfer. But this is obviously targeting somebody who has a lot of tapes, and people who have a lot of tapes are probably like our age, like dudes in their 30s, 40s, 50s. And
I was thinking mid 40s to mid 50s, 30s.
Yeah. And given that it's the sharper image, their target demographic is probably white dudes with a fair amount of money, especially if they're spending $80 on a wireless cassette player, or $70 for a cassette to MP3 converter.
Wait, scroll back over the wireless cassette player. I want to point something out.
Yeah.
if you'll notice, it has the Bluetooth logo. But in addition to the Bluetooth logo, it has the word Bluetooth, because presumably the person that is shopping for this is not tech savvy enough to recognize the Bluetooth logo. So they see Bluetooth and they're like, oh, is that what makes it wireless? And they're, yeah, it's really something. I kind of want one. I don't own any tapes anymore, though.
Yeah, I've had the same thought, and that makes me recognize that they are definitely targeting a particular demographic here with this particular device. Mm-hmm. And I am part of that demographic. I do not like it.
Well, the color and finish choices are all part of that too, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Product design. Well, you've made me depressed, Chris. Thank you.
Well, I figured, you know, like it's the holidays, and when this is going to be aired, it'll be too late to buy any of these things for any of your relatives. So it's probably a good thing.
You don't think that Sharper Images are going to have personal massagers in stock after the holiday?
Well, they will, but it'll be like an after holiday. It won't be.
You think they're just drop shipping those, or do you think they actually have like a warehouse of vibrators?
I think they probably have a warehouse of vibrators.
Okay. maybe that'll be the name of my next album.
Warehouse of Vibrators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be about old technology.
And with that, I think
hell of a way to close the year out, I guess.
That is Binary Jazz Season 3, 2021.
Allison, we're so sorry that you had internet troubles.
Yeah. We'll see you. We'll see you in the new year.
Yeah. I'll be there. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.